You are listening to TRC Unleashed.
Dillon under center, five-step drop, looking right side. Going to go deep again. Bird's there. Cut it to 20. Tamir Bird, drug down at the six. Oh, the speedster. Two tight ends set, Lattimore to the left side. Hand off inside. Marcus stutter step, 5-4, driving for it. Got it. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Marcus Lattimore from 6 yards out. He just tied the all-time record for touchdowns. That's 33.
Yeah, I said it, we are. This is Rock Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Get your fatigues on. All black, everything. Black cars, all black, everything. And our girls are blackbirds. Riding with their diligence. I can't more in depth if you boys really real enough. This is La Familia. I'll explain later. But for now.
All right, everybody. Welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 28, and I am your host, Buck. TRC Unleashed is the podcast arm of the rubberchickensblog.com, and for better or worse, we follow and offer commentary on Gamecock sports when we have time and are motivated. And you're lucky. After a 48-10 victory over East Carolina on Saturday, we are, you know, slightly motivated. So I'm your host, Buck, and I'm joined by my fellow TRC cohorts, T-Bone and the G-Man. And after a week of hand-wringing about Dillon Thompson possibly having to start at quarterback in place of Connor Shaw for the Gamecocks and play a lot of meaningful minutes against East Carolina, he actually came in and threw for 330 yards and three touchdowns in a victory that I think was a good bit easier than any of us anticipated. And I went back and checked the record books, and maybe you guys know, to see if I could find a record for passing yards in a first start. And I hearkened back to Savelle Newton's first start at quarterback against, I think it was South Florida, and he threw for 324 yards. I couldn't find anything on what Todd Ellis or Steve Tannehill did in their first starts. I can't imagine anybody outside of those two guys that might have thrown for more yardage, but so I'm thinking Thompson might have set a record yesterday for passing yards in his first career start that maybe nobody's figured it out yet. I don't know, maybe we're breaking some news here, but you know, G-Man, you speculated last week when Thompson came in against Vandy and they had him chucking away on the first three plays that instead of playing it safe and running the ball with Lattimore, that maybe they were trying to do the opposite of what the defense was thinking. And it looked like the game plan out of the gate yesterday was exactly that, that maybe East Carolina was thinking we'd come out and try to establish the run. But, man, we were dropping bombs from the beginning. What did you think of the offensive performance yesterday?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Spurrier obviously gets annoyed when the passing game doesn't click. I mean, we all know this. I mean, he gets upset and I think kind of down about the passing game because we all know that's his forte. That's what made him the head ball coach and the fun and gun and all these things. And I think last week when the passing game sputtered for various reasons, he came out determined that he was going to show the world that a Steve Spurrier offense could pass the football and move the ball that way. And that coupled with the fact that Dillon Thompson's skill set is more suited to a drop-back passing scheme than Connor Shaw, who's, I think, more of a run-first quarterback, to be honest with you. Thompson's clearly a pass-first quarterback, and the guy demonstrated a great throwing arm. I mean, a couple throws in particular, the throw to Smith, I think it was in the second quarter, just, you know, shows that the guy's got some arm strength. I mean, the offense in general, I mean, I was real happy to see them come out chunking the ball like they did to try to build some confidence for him early. And I didn't think that he was as bad as he looked in the Vandy game and as so many people just piled on him unmercifully after, you know, the few passes he threw in the Vandy game. I just thought it was unfair, and I thought that he would show better if he had a chance to play, and he certainly did. Spread the ball around to many, many different receivers. The tight ends got in the game. Buster Anderson showed that, you know, he's a budding superstar. The running game sputtered. We really didn't need the running game. I was glad to see they were able to get Miles some carries. Lattimore didn't have to do much, which I am perfectly okay with as a Gamecock fan. Offense, just, you know, I couldn't be more pleased. I think now we've shown everybody that we can throw the ball. We've got a lot of different guys who can catch it, who can make moves after the catch. Even your favorite player, D.L. Moore, got involved a little bit.
Man, thank God.
I made a couple plays after much anticipation. So, a great performance all together by the offense, and I was really glad to see it.
Yeah, you got to give Thompson a lot of credit because you bring up a good point about his arm strength, because the two balls that he threw back-to-back on that first series, the first one was to Ace Sanders that he overthrew, and then the second one where he hit Bird pretty much in stride. I mean, that's a pretty good chunk, and he's got a pretty easy throwing motion. I don't know if mechanically it's the best it can be, but he seems like he's got a pretty strong arm. One of the things Spurrier said after the game yesterday was he went to Sean Elliott and said, "Hey, Sean, you know, what do you want to run?" And Elliott said, "Well, Coach, I'd keep throwing it." So that's probably another reason why we saw so much of the pass yesterday. Anything stick out to you, T-Bone, on the offense yesterday?
Well, a couple things. You left out one part of the Spurrier discussion with Sean Elliott. After he gives that quote from Sean Elliott, he then collapsed into a fit of giggling that went on for about 30 seconds.
Right.
If your guy tells you you need to be throwing it more, well, you know, I guess we need to do that. So he seemed pretty happy about that. But I'll tell you the other thing. You talked about Dylan's arm strength. What about a little bit of his touch? And I'm not saying he was putting little precision passes in there, but there were a couple of throws that looked particularly difficult to make, and he made them. One I'm thinking about is he dropped it right over the linebacker's head into Nick Jones's hand late in the first quarter. Just beautiful touch on that pass. And then a couple where he would roll out, move to his right, see a guy downfield, and just loft it out there. I was impressed with how he was able to, you know, throw with pace, throw with rhythm, but also kind of slow it down, look around, dunk it off. You know, Andre Ware was claiming maybe he was the second coming of Danny Werfel, but I think that might be a little bit too much.
A little premature, probably.
Probably a little premature. But I was impressed with that. I was also impressed with, you know, they say he can make all the throws. I think he made all the throws in that game. I think he made every single throw you need to make. We threw it enough for that to happen.
Yeah, he seemed to get, you know, he was a little excited out there. And I was going to put something on the blog about this, but I'm sure I would have caught a lot of criticism, and probably from you two guys, when, you know, I'm not a big act like you've been there before guy, because if you haven't been there, then, you know, go crazy. I don't care if you've never, you know, but after that first completion to Bird, he did like this white man strut and was pumping his fist and all this kind of stuff. He seems like a very excitable type, like how Brett Favre used to celebrate when he was younger. And that just kind of irritates me a little bit.
And I agree with you, because I noticed that same thing. And I was thinking to myself, you know, okay, dial it back.
Right.
And I think long-term he might dial it back, but I just think he really needed it.
Right. Yeah.
First quarter.
Hey guys, he admitted that he got a little too excited. So I think it's good that he knew that.
Okay, good. Okay. Good. I didn't hear that. So good. Good to hear that he recognized it. He was, you know, you don't have to act like you've been there before, but don't act like you're surprised that, you know, you just threw a 59-yard completion or whatever it was. And he seemed like he was a little surprised. But, you know, another thing, G-Man, you mentioned the receiving core. I think I wrote on the blog this morning we hit 8 different wide receivers, which was good to see. And, you know, nobody was spectacular, but just seeing the ball spread around. Man, Spurrier was determined to get Shaq Rowland a long ball. I mean, I think he threw at least 3. It might have been 4 till he finally hit him on a couple of shorter routes. But it's kind of like Spurrier was wanting to say, "Hey, man, look what this guy can do. Look at, check this out." and he just couldn't come down with one. Buster Anderson, like you said, was great. Still no Jarrell Adams. You know, I'm wondering where this guy. You know, maybe Buster is just not letting him crack the lineup or something. Cunningham and Buster are just keeping him out of there. You know, and we'd be remiss without mentioning Marcus Lattimore tied the career touchdown record with his 33rd. And, you know, he's basically done that. He's done that in less than two seasons, I guess, which is just another impressive mark on his resume. So on the defensive side of the ball, it was kind of – I felt like it was kind of the opposite of the performance last week. You know, last week we talked about how we kind of felt like we didn't play particularly well on defense, but then you look – you know, you really think about it. You look at the yardage, you look at the points given up, and we were – pretty darn good on defense last week, and I guess it was because of all the turnovers yesterday, and we were so opportunistic, forced five turnovers. It maybe felt like the defense played a lot better than it did. You know, we gave up over 400 yards of total offense, which I'm sure Coach Ward is not particularly happy about that. But you know, a lot of that was soft yardage too against this air raid offense, and we basically just made plays when we had to. And I think our linebackers are looking good, T-Bone. What you think?
Well, I think you're right. There was a couple of factors going on there. You know, think back to the very first series of the game that East Carolina had. They moved the ball right down the field. And so I like you, think it feels better in retrospect. You look at the 10 points, and points are, after all, what matter. But they did move the ball. They moved the ball early, and then you know, again late. The kind of the middle of the game, they started turning the ball over. But those first couple series, yeah, I was a little nervous. I think our guys had decided, for whatever reason, maybe they were just amped up to play at home. But the second factor here is I think they had just decided they were going to hawk the ball a little bit. I mean, you saw a lot of guys taking home run swings, breaking on the ball, trying to knock a ball loose, and sometimes at the expense of actually making a tackle or playing within themselves. So I think they maybe felt like they could make some big plays, and in many cases made them. You said you're feeling really good about our linebackers. I'm feeling really good about one of our linebackers, and then I'm worrying a little bit about a couple of the others. Bowens, it looked like to me, struggled a little bit at times yesterday. And I'm, you know, granted, I've never played linebacker. So maybe he was doing exactly what he wanted to.
Well, like, you know,
he was trailing a lot. I don't know. I'm curious what y'all think about that.
Yeah. Well, he had a forced fumble and the recovery. I don't know. I thought they didn't have a lot of opportunity to make plays yesterday. But I thought they were fine. G-Man, what do you think?
I was pleased with the defensive effort. I mean, we've gotten used to this sort of bend but don't break type of defense that we've run for the last couple of years, and I thought yesterday was a good example of that. You know, we gave up a lot of yards between the 20s, but came up big with turnovers down by the, you know, in the red zone or down by the goal line when ECU was, you know, getting pretty close. I mean, you got to give up some yards. I mean, this is going to happen. I mean, they run that controlled short passing game. They're going to have guys breaking open about a 5 to 7 yard pattern, and they're going to hit some passes. I mean, you know, you're just not going to stop everybody from doing anything. So I thought the defense looked strong, looked intimidating. I thought that the defensive backs played particularly well. Looked like they were playing the ball. Looked like they were around the receivers a lot, and we got a lot of you know, tackles right after catches. We also had some missed tackles, but we had some breakups and of course, 4 interceptions. I mean, isn't that the name of the game? Get some takeaways. I mean, we had 5 total takeaways. So I was pleased with the effort. I mean, was it a perfect effort? No, but I mean, it was. I thought it was a good effort by the D. We played a lot of people. That drive at the end of the game where they scored a touchdown, that was basically against a second team defense the entire time. They had a couple starters run in and out a couple times. I was watching that, but it was mainly against a second unit. And so I thought it was good to get those guys a chance to play, and a lot of defensive linemen played yesterday due to the heat.
Yeah.
And that's only good for the future.
Yeah, we had towards the end there, we had some of our backup defensive linemen in there, and we were just getting no pressure on the quarterback at all. But that's, you know, that's why those guys are third teamers right now. and they'll get better, hopefully. When did we turn the ball over, by the way?
When Thompson was popped.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, I saw that we had a fumble, and I just could not remember when we turned the ball over. And that, right. Yeah, that was not a smart play to. I mean, all you got to do is step out of bounds when you get that close.
Another example of his youthful exuberance.
Right. 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 Yeah. So, you know, back to the defense, yeah, our main man, Jimmy Legree, who has caught some heat on this podcast, and, you know, we made a little fun of him last year on that Stephon Gilmore return against Georgia. He had the pick six and, you know, looks like a really good physical cornerback for us right now. When you win 41-10 over a team like East Carolina, you can't be too unhappy with very much. I know Steve Spurrier was was about as giddy as we have seen him since he's been at the University of South Carolina in that press conference yesterday. He seems to be having a lot of fun. And, you know, a couple of things about that, you know, during the game, you've got with about six, I believe it was between 6 and 7 minutes left when he threw that wide receiver pass to score a touchdown. And you thought, man, that's vintage Spurrier. And then has Seth Strickland throw a pass to Buster Anderson with less than a minute left for the final touchdown. And that's really vintage Spurrier. And it was kind of funny, his comment about that after the game during the press conference was, you know, we talk about winning the fourth quarter around here at South Carolina, and you know, we wanted to win the fourth quarter. So we were losing the fourth quarter 7-6. So Spurrier, even though we were up 41-10, he decides to throw a pass and score a touchdown.
I love that. I mean,
I do too.
You got the younger guys in there, give the younger guys something to fight for. I thought that was awesome.
I was
giggling almost as hard as he was.
Yeah, he also took a little shot at offensive coordinator at Clemson, Chad Morris, and that's probably when he giggled the hardest. He talked about running 50 plays in the first half, and he said, "Well, I bet that Clemson coach would be happy with us, wouldn't he?" And then he laughed like I've never heard him laugh before. So, you guys think Spurrier's having a good time or what?
Oh yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Maybe feels a little better than he did last week after the Vandy game.
No question about that.
Now both of you guys were at the game yesterday, and he did. You know, the only downside was Spurrier chastised the fans for leaving early. Did you feel guilty at all when he said that?
I didn't leave early, so.
Well, that's why I'm asking. That's why I'm asking. I want to make sure you hung around there.
5 minutes to go. I'll say that. But it was incredibly hot at that ball game. And I think that you had a lot of folks who were overheated, and you had a very comfortable score, and you had a lot of beverages back at the tailgate due to the fact that it was an early kick. And people want to get back there and get under the tents and curl up next to their coolers. And I think that had a lot to do with it, to be honest with you. But I thought the fans did a pretty good job.
Well, the party can wait. That's what he said.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what it was. I was there until they played the alma mater at the end after it was over. So I saw well beyond double zeros. But it felt like a spring game. It felt so much like a spring game that your mind started wandering. And the reason I say that it felt like a spring game is that the stands were half empty. Dylan Thompson got a lot of snaps, and D.D. Smith caught a touchdown pass. So
that is indicative of a spring game right there.
I think what was really going on there is the student section kind of sets the tone for these things a lot. There was a huge west side and east side division, too. The west side stands stayed pretty full, but the east side's emptied, and they emptied right after the students left. I think the students, it was their first home game in a lot of instances. I think they probably overshot. Their stomachs were bigger than their central nervous system, and you saw a lot of them wobbling out of there about halfway through the first quarter. So they'll work it. We'll clean that up. That's right. Something we've all got to work on, and we'll look at some film, and we'll clean that up.
How did the stadium look, and most importantly, how was the beast board?
Beastly. The beast board is the real deal.
Really?
That thing is you could watch the game on that and just not watch the action. It's very, very impressive. There is a lot of advertising going on to pay for that thing.
Right.
But I thought it was a tremendous addition, and just two or three replays after all the big plays. I mean, you had plenty of time to catch the play if you missed something on the play before. I was very impressed, and I can't imagine people having too many criticisms of it.
Right.
It may could have been implemented a little bit better, run a little bit better, but the board itself, awesome.
Good deal. How'd the stadium look, T-Bone? It's been your first game in a while.
Well, I thought it looked, really good. Around the stadium looked awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Right.
I wish I'd had more time to just kind of wander around out there, because it does not compare to what it was, two or three years ago. It's an incredible environment out there, and everybody seemed like they were having a great time.
Yeah. Well, I'll say on TV, there were some empty seats, big spots of empty seats in the stands at the beginning of the game. But I mean, on TV, it was shocking how few people were there in the fourth quarter. It was pretty barren, but I can understand why some people left. It's hot day, few drinks, but we'll see what Spurrier's words mean when we're up by and next week's a night game too, so people will probably be more inclined to hang around. So let's get to the Rubber Chicken Award for the week, and I think I started with G-Man last week. So T-Bone, you get the first crack at the Rubber Chicken Award for the East Carolina game.
Well, so yeah, last week I think G-Man got to state the obvious, so I'll get to state the obvious this time. Dylan Thompson coming through when we needed him. I really felt good, had to feel good to him. Changed the whole mentality of the fan base. I mean, the whole mentality. It actually scared some Clemson fans back under their various redneck rocks, and so that was a good thing. Got to give it to Dylan.
They weren't talking as much at church this morning as they were last week.
Oh no, I don't think it came up.
Well, and I don't think Auburn's performance against Mississippi State really helped out too much either. But we'll get to that in just a minute. G-Man, who you got for your rubber chicken award for the week?
Well, I'm gonna go. You sort of stole my thunder. I figured you would go with T-Bone first, and he would go with Thompson, and I was ready to announce a certain player, but you mentioned him some in your defensive report, but I'm going to go with Jimmy Legree. I don't think we didn't give him one last week, I don't believe.
No.
So I'm going to go with Legree because, last year he did have a very tough beginning to the season at safety and ended up, being benched and relegated to a backup role. And this year, there's a lot of woe is me stuff coming out of the fan base when Auguste hurt himself again and couldn't play. And, oh, no, we're stuck with Jimmy Legree. The guy can't play. Blah, 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 blah. Well, what has he done the last 2 weeks? Played just spectacular football, physical football. You may remember the play before the pick six yesterday. He stripped and recovered a fumble that ended up getting reversed, but it was a great play. I think that he has been a very pleasant surprise for us so far this year, and he looks like a legitimate SEC cornerback or a plus cornerback in the conference. I mean, that pick six was a thing of beauty. They've been running that little hitch pattern all day, and he just sat on it and broke on it, and it was just a thing of beauty.
Yeah, he played a good game, and I guess I know you guys too well because I wrote down three names, and in order they were Dylan Thompson, Jimmy Legree, and the third one is the person I'm giving my rubber chicken award to for the East Carolina game is Buster Anderson, who had for a guy who just wasn't highly recruited, and I think I've said this on this podcast before, he's just one of those guys when we got a commitment from him. From Rory Anderson, who had offers from Maryland and Tennessee Chattanooga and whoever, you just thought he's another one of these guys that may or may not work out, and he has turned into a fantastic player for us, and glad to have him. So that's it for Rubber Chickens. We are not going to preview the Alabama-Birmingham game because I'm not sure exactly what we would say. You guys know anything about Alabama-Birmingham you'd like to share?
Actually, I can tell you one little pearl of wisdom. Okay. Next week, we may throw the ball a little bit, but look for us to have a big game on the ground.
Okay.
They have struggled stopping the run.
All right, good to know. So we'll look for a big game out of Marcus Lattimore and Joshua Blue. Anyone? Joshua Blue. Anyone?
We know who he is.
So let's talk about what
tailback.
Let's talk about what we saw from the rest of the SEC this week, and it was, you know, ESPN was making a big deal out of no top 25 matchups. There weren't any two teams both in the top 25 playing each other yesterday, and they're like, oh, what a terrible week for football. But there were some pretty doggone good games yesterday. You know, I wasn't – you guys may disagree with me. I wasn't terribly disappointed that Georgia and Florida beat Missouri and Texas A&M respectively. We're going to have to beat those guys anyway to win the East. And we're going to have to beat Missouri to win the East. So, you know, those games could have gone either way, and I don't think it really meant much as far as our destiny in the SEC East. And another reason I wasn't terribly disappointed was because I was sick of hearing about Missouri and Texas A&M. And I'm kind of glad they both got beat and got that welcoming to the SEC because they seemed like they were I don't know. They were a little too big for their britches coming into yesterday. Did you guys get that feeling at all?
I agree. I think everybody remembers the ass whippings that we got when we joined the SEC. Let's just face it. I mean, it was
right.
It was basically little brother, getting beat up in the corner by big brother and all big brother's friends for several years. We remember that well, and it was very tough to take, and we paid our dues, and we finally, after 20 years, you know, now we have a seat at the table. Well, these guys wanted to walk in like they had a seat at the table automatically, and granted, their programs are further along than ours was at that time. There's no question. I want them to pay some dues.
Right.
And that's kind of the feeling I had, like you stated.
Yeah, I mean, and nobody, David Pollack. I take that back. David Pollack, because I think David Pollack is going to become the Lou Holtz for the SEC in general. He picked Florida to beat Texas A&M. Everybody else across the board on ESPN yesterday morning was picking Texas A&M, from what I remember. A lot of people picking Missouri. And, you know, quite frankly, by the end of the game last night, Missouri just looked outmanned by Georgia. Georgia looked much more talented and, again, missing four of their starters. T-Bone, was it a good night in the T-Bone household since your wife is a Georgia grad?
Oh, yeah, except she went to bed at the half.
Oh, well, okay.
She was disgusted because she wasn't aware Missouri had a football team until about 10 minutes before kickoff.
Right.
So she was very disgusted that they were hanging with them. But the thing with Missouri that stood out to me is there's not a lot of quality depth on that team.
Right.
I mean, they weren't rotating a lot of people. And by the end of the game, those guys were just whipped. It made me encouraged about our home game with them because I think we can match up with Georgia and we can do something similar to what they did. Georgia also, though, by the same token, stout defense, but that offensive line is not an impressive group right now. So, either way that game had gone, I would have figured out a way to look at it as a positive. So, on the other hand, I really think we needed TAMU to beat Florida. I think Florida's going to mess around and figure out how to win some games with defense this year, and we may end up looking at them as our chief competition before it's over and done with.
Let me say this, too. Georgia and Florida just loaded with athletes, both teams. Now, they don't have the playmakers, maybe Florida special like they've had in the past, but you watch those defenses, watch those guys run, watch the hits they were putting on those receivers after catches and running down the quarterback for TAMU in the second half. those guys are just loaded with athletes. And I think that was a kind of eye-opening experience for A&M and Missouri. I mean, and Jarvis Jones.
Oh my God.
I mean, he's just unbelievable.
It's hard to believe one guy out of 11 can have that much impact on a game. I mean, in, you know, when he rushed the passer, he always got there. When he laid back, he got an interception, or he was making tackles down the field. It was just, yeah, he was very impressive and as advertised. And, you know, he might contend for the SEC overall, the SEC player of the year, when all is said and done. He is quite a player. So, you know, Vandy lost to Northwestern last night, which was, you know, I was kind of hoping to see Vandy maybe turn it up a little bit and make us look good, but they didn't help us at all. Of course, if you I started a little something on the blog called the Transitive Property Report, and they lost to Northwestern. Northwestern beat Syracuse, and Syracuse gave Southern Cal a pretty decent game. So maybe that, you know.
I think that makes us the national champion.
I think it does. I think you're right. So we talked about Missouri. Kentucky beat Kent State. So what? LSU beat Washington. Washington is terrible. Why was that game even on ESPN in primetime? Tennessee beat Georgia State. Wofford, one of our future opponents, beat Lincoln University 82-0. And I'm dreading that game already. I just don't want to see that. But the game of the night, and this is a team, you know, people look at the LSU game and they said loss. And then they looked at Arkansas and they said, you know, probably a loss because those guys have owned us for such a long time. You know, and everybody else is either a toss-up or a win. Well, Arkansas loses to Louisiana Monroe 34-31. And, man, those guys have got problems. You know, a big reason they lost last night was because Tyler Wilson got knocked out of the game. And they probably win the game with Tyler Wilson in there. But they look like they might struggle a little bit under the leadership of John L. Smith.
I agree. And that quarterback for Monroe.
Yeah.
What a performance.
I mean, that
was just a thing of beauty to watch that guy. And you were just pulling for him, you know?
Right.
Just you know, you wanted that guy to succeed in the fourth down play, in the overtime play. And Arkansas, very vulnerable on defense. I could just see Connor Shaw having a field day against that defense. So, you know, they definitely have lost something with Petrino gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very encouraging watching that. And you know, ditto what G-Man said about the quarterback. I loved watching that guy. You could tell he was just in the zone. He may have several games like that, but I would not be shocked if that was the only game he ever plays at that level, because he was on fire. The best quote I saw about that game came via Twitter, and it came from Holly Anderson. And she said, "Folks, the guy's not named John W. Smith."
That's pretty good.
I like it.
That Holly's a good follow. All right. Well, we will. I guess we'll talk about this. And you know, Dabo, the Clemson football team, defeated Ball State. What was it, 54-27 yesterday?
Something, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, something like that. We know they did. Well, the important number is that 24 or 27 points that they gave up. I mean, is that not a little disturbing to those guys that they would give up that many points?
To them, to their fan base? No, that's not disturbing at all. They have greatness in them. Excellence exudes from every orange-tinged pore that they have.
Well, get ready to hear about that all year, because the ACC, I think the ACC is worse than we imagined. You know, North Carolina looked pretty good their first week. They've got a lot of athletes on that team, and they get beat by Wake Forest. Miami got hammered by Kansas State. FSU looks like the only viable team in that conference. Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech in that Monday night game, they're not awful, but they are extremely average. So and we say this every year. It's hard to see Clemson losing more than a couple of games with this schedule they've got, don't you think?
It's horrible. And the ACC is so bad right now that even if you think about joining, you get horrible just automatically.
Right.
I mean, look at what Pitt did. You know, Pitt's joining and now they suck immediately. So
right.
I do not see Clemson losing until late in the year. So we just need to go ahead and prepare ourselves for that.
Well, they have Florida State in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just watch.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping. Fingers crossed, toes crossed.
So we've got Missouri in 2 weeks. We don't know what time we're going to be playing those guys, do we?
No.
Well, yeah. This coaching fourth grade football, you know, when you move up to fourth grade, all your games get moved to the afternoon. It's killing me. So any final thoughts, gentlemen, after week two of the college football season?
I'll say this. For all those Gamecock fans and folks who follow Gamecock football who wanted to jump off, you know, bridges after the Vanderbilt game, you know, people just need to relax. You know, the old ball coach knows what he's doing. We got some ball players now. Not that East Carolina is a great team or anything like that, but, you know, we took them to the woodshed with our backup quarterback who can play. So people just need to relax and let the season play out without just going absolute bananas when you have a little bit of a struggle with a hurt quarterback in the rain, on the road, in the SEC.
That sounds like that was aimed directly at you, T-Bone.
I'm just going to say ditto to the G-man and go with that. That was awesome.
All right, Gamecock Nation, before we sign off, we'd like to remind all of you that it has now been 1,381 days since South Carolina lost to Clemson in football. I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com, and we'll talk to you soon.